I like to say good morning to everyone. It is such a blessing once again to be on this side of life. Amen. And I'm thankful to God for another chance at life. For we know that with each breath of life, we have another opportunity to get it right. And for that, I'm thankful. And I'm thankful to God for all of his blessings in spite of me. And you should be thankful as well that God blesses us because of how good he is and not because of how great we are being sometimes. And I'd like to thank Brother Stroud for this invitation to stand before you today. And as I mentioned, so thankful for this opportunity to proclaim a word of God. And Brother Stroud, I truly appreciate your service, my brother. And it's definitely a privilege to serve with men of God like Brother Stroud and before Brother Brooks. Sound doctrine preachers. And because of that, I know he listening hard. But my brother, you've been a great teacher and mentor, and I really appreciate you for that and your service. And I pray God continue to use you in a positive way to influence the life of many and saving souls and bringing souls to Christ. And I want to thank all the other brothers here, you know, the trustees and the brothers that have stood before me on this day for their service in general and for their service to this congregation. And these trustees, this was my first pass at it, and they work hard. They labor diligently. And for that, I'm thankful to be a part of that group, and thank those that are behind the scenes as well, those brothers that labor so tirelessly in the background. And I also can't forget about the sisters of the congregation. Amen. Thank you to the ladies here as well in administration and the continued support to the brothers here. The ladies recently had a prayer call and a fellowship, so they've been busy. And I appreciate that. Amen. Appreciate that. And I'd like to take this moment to welcome any visitors who may be amongst us today or online with us that may not be members of the Church of Christ. Amen. It is my prayer today to share a word of God with you that you may become a member of the Church of Christ. Amen. And it's my prayer that you could be strengthened in your faith and render obedience to the one true gospel. And for those of us that are Christians, it is my prayer that something will be said that will strengthen your walk in this life in Christianity. And it's my prayer that those visitors become a member of that Church of Christ by hearing the story of the cross, the story that Christ died for your sins and was buried in a borrowed tomb and rose again the third day. Amen. He shed the blood that will wash away your sins. And it was the same blood that purchased his church. Amen. And through your obedience to that gospel, God would add you to that church, Acts 2, verse 47. And yep, it's not until then that you obey that gospel that you can call yourself a Christian. You have to obey that gospel by realizing that you are separated from God by your sins, and you must be buried with him in baptism to contact that blood that washes those sins away, and then you can rise and walk in newness of life. Amen. And for a few moments today, I want to look at the Psalm of David. And David, after going through some things in his life, despite his failures or troubles, he had many songs on his heart. Yes. See, David was happy for deliverance because he knew what he'd been through. And David did some horrible things in his life. But before we think of the horrible things that David did in his life, just know that we at some point was no different than David. Because Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because see, we all need forgiveness. And I'm here to tell you today that no matter what circumstances you're going through or in, no matter what you're going through, you too can find deliverance and have a song on your heart. Like David. We should sing to his tune here in Psalms 34. Yes. Listen to David in Psalms 34:8. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord
is good.
Blessed
is the man.
Blessed is the man that
trusts in him.
That's good, my brother. David says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He says, if you can taste and see, then you would trust him and be blessed. Taste and see. These are two of the five senses that God blessed us with, right? We have hear, feel, taste, see, and smell, right? If I'm not mistaken. And see, typically what we see, hear, smell, and touch are senses that are influenced by external things. Okay. Right? But that which we taste is internal. And what I mean by that it must be put into your mouth to trigger the taste bud. It can be bitter, it can be sweet, it can be sour, or whatever. But in this case, David used good to describe his taste. And see, taste is something that we try the flavor of, right? Okay. It's trying the flavor of something. But again, it's internal. It has to touch the taste bud first. And from a physical and worldly perspective, we can all have different, quote unquote, tastes and materialistic things and preferences and different opinions on the taste of food, right? But from a spiritual perspective, you either have the taste of this world or the taste of the Lord. But in this world that we live, you must be careful of what distracts your sight to attract your taste. But what I'm saying is, be careful of your appetite. Because everything we see that look good to you ain't good for you. See, we gotta be careful in this life because we need to live a life of humility. We find an example, Philippians 2:8, where Jesus had to humble himself to be fashioned as a man. And humility is to accept something that's not appealing. And he learned obedience. So we gotta learn this, to live a life of humility. We can't go around tasting everything we desire.
Amen. Amen.
We must check our appetite.
Amen.
Because humility and appeal can sometimes conflict if you're not careful. See, so we can't just do what we want to do and live how we want to live and expect the same benefit, especially when we've been given the instruction.
Okay.
And see, when God in Genesis, when God created man and woman, they had everything that they needed and instruction from God, right? In Genesis chapter 3, Verses 2-3. Eve knew of the instruction, right? She said when the serpent came to her in chapter 2, and at the beginning of verses 2-3, we can see that she said, she told the serpent, she said, we can eat of all the tree in the garden except the one in the middle. And see, then she knew the consequence that if they did, right? And she goes on to say, she knew that if you eat a touch of it, you will surely die. But see, the serpent told her that that wasn't the case. And see, brothers and sisters, friends and family, it is our nature sometimes to want to go against the will of God. But unless we follow the instruction of God, we will surely die. And let's see what happens when the serpent tricked her. Because see, what happened was he put it on her mind. He put it in her heart. And in verse 6, it says that she saw it was good for food and it was pleasant to the eye. Designed to be wise, she took the fruit and she did eat. And what happened? Their eyes were open. And they knew they were naked. See, right here, it says their eyes was open in the world, to the world. This was the birth of sin here. And before this, they had nothing to worry about until they disobeyed the Lord, right? Yeah. And in verse 8, it says, but when they heard the Lord, what they do? They hid themselves in the trees. But then in verse 9, what did God do? He called to him. He says, the Lord says, where art thou? He knew, right? Mm-hmm. God knows everything. But God asked them a question. Where are you? And the Lord asked you that question today. Where are you today? Amen. How have you affected your relationship with God? Do you even have a relationship with him? Is the question. Have you been obedient to his will? Do you prioritize your obedience to the will of God? Or will you be easily distracted by the wrong taste? Living a life self-pleasing, separated by God, hiding from his righteousness because you know when you do wrong. See, this was the first sin that sent them hiding. But you can run, but you can't hide from God. See, God knows your very condition right now today. But he is saying to you today, he is saying that I can deliver you. I'm just to forgive you. He says, you can stop running, but look to me. Amen. Come to me. I know your life. I know the things you do, but you have mercy if you come to me, because I can and will deliver you. And as we look at David, in the 34th division of Psalm, David found that deliverance. Let's listen to the song of David. After leading a troubled life, he began to sing a new song. And so can you. In Psalms 34, beginning at the first verse, it says,
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise
shall continually
be in my mouth.
See, David was feeling some type of way here. Have you ever just woke up in the morning with a song on your heart? And see, I'm not talking about that worldly stuff either. Okay. But you know, songs like, I woke up this morning with my mind.
Amen.
Don't listen to the tune, listen to the words. But you know, when you wake up and singing those songs in the morning, it puts you in a good mood. And you singing because you happy. And so that's what David is doing here. He is singing because he is happy, reflecting on the goodness of God. He says that he will bless the Lord when?
All
at all times. And then he goes on to say that I can't just stop giving him the glory. I can't stop giving him the praise for all that he's done for me. And see, we can learn from David here. If we keep the praise of God in our mouth, we wouldn't have to worry about anything negative slipping out of it, will we? And see, knowing where we came from and what we've been through, we have a reason to sing. And being that we are here this morning, we have a reason to have a song on our heart. And see, David was happy here. Let's listen to him. Verse 2.
My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
And see, David is bragging about the Lord.
Amen.
And see, we need to sing this similar song in action. We sometimes boast on things that we value dearly, right? And are excited about. But rather boast on accomplishments, but rather boast on the wealth, or rather boast on financial status or positions, but rather boast on things gained in this life. We can follow David's lead and boast in the Lord.
Amen.
The joy of knowing and having a God such as our God is enough to boast about. And he says that the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. So when you boast or you brag or talk about the Lord, the others that witness your life, that hear your cries, that see or hear your songs, he's saying that those that are brokenhearted or poor in spirit can too have something to boast about. The joy and deliverance through trials. But see, it's easy to have joy when things are good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the scriptures tells us to be joyful always. And David sings this song because he know what he has been through. And in verse 3.
Oh, magnify the Lord.
Magnify the Lord.
And let us exalt his name together.
David singing here, his words, he says, join with me. Let's glorify the Lord together. Brothers and sisters, we should praise God together. That is the importance of fellowship and gathering here today. That is why we worship together in fellowship, to share in one another's presence and joy. It's encouraging seeing every one of you amongst us today.
Amen.
Because we're striving for the same cause. That tells me that you're on the battlefield, that you're trying, because we're here today. Listen to David. Listen to his song again in verse 4.
I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him and delivered them.
That's good, my brother. And see, David says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. See, David gives instruction in his testimony here in Psalms 34. David reveals in this song, he reveals his repentant heart and newfound self in expressing his joy and his praise for his deliverance. He said, he delivered me from my troubles. And those that witness his troubles witnessed God's goodness while they were with him. And then they looked to God. And the scripture says here, and they were lightened. And see, sometimes when we live this life and we live the way that we want to live, we might not have peace. And when somebody corrects you or tells you about Jesus, it's like your eyes open up, lighten. He said that these people that were with him, they saw his joy and they were lightened. And then they wasn't ashamed because they saw of how good God was. And sometimes we look for joy and answers in the wrong things in this life. And they may have been like that previously, but they now saw something that they hadn't seen before. And they wasn't ashamed for putting their trust in God either. And we too can share in this joy through the faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We serve the same God. But today, Jesus is our way to deliverance. And God, in Psalms 108:1, David says, "Oh, God, my heart is fixed." He says, "And I will sing and give praise to you." So when God fixes your heart, when God delivers you, you have a new song on your heart. And see, Eve knew sin. When she knew sin, she tried to hide herself. We too know right from wrong. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them who believe not." What happened to Eve? Well, who is this God of this world? Revelation 12:9. He was cast out to the earth. His name is Satan. What was his job? To deceive the whole world. And the devil is on his job today. He was on his job in the garden with Eve. He deceived Eve. He deceived Eve. And then that separated her from God. And the scripture says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. But who blinds their mind? Who blinds our minds?
Amen.
It's the devil. And if you haven't obeyed this gospel, the serpent has you too. He got you hiding and running from God. But just like God asked Adam and Eve in the garden, "Where are you?" I ask you that today.
Yes.
Where are you in your Christian walk? Are you even a Christian, and have you even rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ? You too can find favor and flavor in the Lord. But we have to use David as and follow his example, but we must seek him first. David sought the Lord. John 4:23-24, it says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." And in Matthew 7:7, it says, "Seek and you will find." So if you are seeking God, you will find him. If you want to do right, you can do right. It's a choice.
Amen.
In this life. Just think about how much you put time and what you put your time and effort into. What you put your time and effort and practice into, you get better at it. So how much time are you spending studying the Word of God?
Amen.
How much time are you spending tasting his goodness? How many examples do we got to read in the scripture?
Amen.
To see and taste how good he is. Just think about where you came from in your life. How good has God been to you?
Amen.
Despite our behavior.
Amen.
Sometimes. Why are we so easily beset if we say we love the Lord. But you got to seek him first. And when you search for God, you will find him. But you must know that we can't please God when we have sin in our lives, because he won't hear our prayers. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. The Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins have separated you between you and your God, that he will not hear you. In John 9:31, for now we know that God hears not a sinner. So we need deliverance. But how do we get that deliverance? We are delivered by the gospel. Mark 16:15-16 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. What did David do? David sought the Lord. And then when he found him, he told people about it. And those of us that know about it, we're commanded here that go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What are we doing? Are we sharing in our happiness? Are we sharing in this newfound deliverance for us that are Christians? What are we doing? Are we laboring for God? He says, go preach this gospel. Boast about me. Tell them what I did for you. Tell them how I died for them, how I died for you, and that I was buried in a borrowed tomb and I rose again the next day. If that means anything to you, you will boast about it. And you will live a life that proves it. So we must hear that gospel. And if you hadn't heard it, you heard it today. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we must obey that gospel. And Romans 5:8 says that while ye are yet sinners, Christ died. And see, while we were yet sinners, living the way that we want to live, doing what we want to do, we helped whip him. While we are living according to our own selfish desires, we were slashing the whip. But then it's kind of like you try to throw a rock and hide your hand and come to church on Sunday morning. But then you go back living how you want to live. But God is saying, stop running.
Yes.
Confess your faults. Turn your life around. He says, repent. In Romans 5, verse 9, he says, but why? Why? Because we can be justified by his blood.
Yes.
And then Romans 6, we can rise and walk in that newness of life by being buried with him in baptism, contacting that blood, and we can sing a new song. And now I understand the song when we sing it, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
I see that the answer is Christ.
Yes.
We must follow his lead and taste of his righteousness. But we got to do our part. We have to focus on God. We have to make God your priority in this life. And if you fall, get up. We all in it together. We all need support. We all need a support system. And when God is your priority, you will sing right. And y'all did sound good this morning.
Amen.
And when God is your priority, you'll give right. And when God is your priority, you'll talk right.
Amen.
And when God is your priority, you'll act right. And you may be amongst us today knowing you need to get it right with God. You can't get it right without him, that's for sure. So stop hiding.
Amen.
Stop running from your past and realize where you are today. Where are you? Will you be blessed today? And as David sings his song 34 and 8, he says, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
And blessed is the man that trusted in him. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, it says, now is the accepted time of salvation to taste of the goodness of the God of God. In Matthew 13, 16, Jesus said, but blessed are your eyes, for they shall see, and your ears, for they shall hear. And what is it that we should hear? First and foremost is we must hear. Faith cometh by hearing.
Amen.
Romans 10, 17. We must hear what? That gospel that I preached unto you. How that Christ died for your sins, was buried in the tomb, and rose again. And how that we were dead and separated by God, living how we want to live, doing what we want to do, dead to sin. Not just in this life, but think about how you worship. Do you remember him every Sunday? Do you give right? Just think about your life. Just think about it. So we are dead in sin if we are not following Christ's righteousness. And that's a problem for us. Christ died for sin. We are dead to sin. He was buried in a tomb. You must be buried in a watery grave of baptism. He rise on the third day, and we rise and walk in the newness of life. That's how we obey the gospels. You believe that. Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith is it impossible. Then we must repent. Luke 13, 3. Except ye repent, ye will all likewise perish. And then we must confess, as the eunuch did in Acts. We must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we must be baptized, Mark 16, 15 through 16. If you believe it, you'll be baptized. If you believe not, then you will be damned. And then after that obedience and baptism, Christ, the Lord, will add you to his church.
Amen.
And in Revelations 22, 17, as I close, it says, and the Spirit and the bride says, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And if you are subject today to the Savior's invitation, I beg you to come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Amen.